It is good to see you this morning. We are so glad that you're here with us. We hope to see you tonight as well. Tis the Christmas season, right? The air is finally cold and crisp. It gets dark at 3:30 in the afternoon. Christmas music has been piping in the stores, I think, for about 4 months now. And we've started to receive our Christmas cards in the mail. And I love when we start to get the Christmas cards in the mail. Christmas cards are a great way to send love and joy. They're a great way to show off the kids and the family and maybe the pets. But I want to show you a few pictures that reminds us that for some people, just sending a brief update or a card or a family photo isn't enough. Christmas cards are a time for creativity and a little bit of craziness and occasionally a cry for help. And so I want to show you a few photos that I found, a few Christmas cards that are a bit peculiar this time of year. We've got this one, which I think is animal cruelty. Go to the next one. Quite a few of you have seen that image around the holidays the last few years. I don't know what's going on with this one. I just find it fascinating that that's the card. That one's just sad. That says, "From all of us," if you can't read it. It's beautiful. This one, I guess they just said, one of us is going to do it, so let's all do it on that one. I grew up in that household right there. This is a family, I guess, that's getting coal in their stockings in 3 to 5 years in the slammer there. That's if you really like bad puns for Christmas, you've got a card. For the Game of Thrones fans, that's a bit of Norman Rockwell KFC edition if you can't see what's going on in that picture. Fun with Photoshop on that one. Okay, that one's the stuff of nightmares right now. And that's the stuff of dreams, am I right? That one's not a photo, that's just good advice come Christmas. Get your fat pants ready. And finally, my favorite image right there. Well, I want to expose you to one more image. And to me, it is the most peculiar of all. It is a passage which is not so much a traditional Christmas image per se, but it is a picture of what is to come when the Messiah comes. So if you have your Bible, open up to Isaiah chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Now, there's nothing especially crazy so far, but Isaiah is already painting an interesting portrait here. This is the time when Assyria, the nation of Assyria, is the big bad nation in the neighborhood. And at the end of the previous chapter, Assyria is described as a large forest filled with these large, imposing trees. Now, Isaiah says God's about to take that forest down, but we begin in chapter 11. Instead of the images of imposing trees, do you remember the image we start with? It's a stump. There is nothing but the roots underneath the surface and a sad little nub that remains of the people of Israel. They have been decimated. They've been destroyed. It is an image of hopelessness. And yet, out of this stump, Isaiah says, will shoot a new branch that speaks of hope and promise and restoration. God has this habit, like that sad Charlie Brown Christmas tree, of making that which is ugly beautiful. That which looks like it's defeated, reborn out of this stump of Jesse, a reference to the father of David. Out of this hopeless situation, hope will come, and help will come, and a Savior will come, a Messiah, not just for the people of Israel, but for all people. And Isaiah, he says he won't be like the failed kings and faithless kings of all the nations around, and in many instances, the nation of Israel as well, because he will be full of faith. He will be full of the Spirit. He will be full of wisdom. He will know the ways of God and seek the ways of God and lead in the ways of God. His reign will be a reign of justice and righteousness, one in which those who are normally put out and put down, the poor, will be included and invited in, and it will be the powerful and the rich, those who put upon, who will be brought down. It is an image of a world remade. But this is an image we're familiar with. This isn't the unusual part yet. This is the image that Mary sings about in Luke chapter 1 when she sings about Jesus coming. The Magnificat, this image of the poor and those left out being lifted up and the mighty being brought down. This is the image that Jesus taps into in his first sermon in chapter 4 of Luke. Again, one where the poor are lifted up, where the prisoners are remembered, where the blind are included. This world turned on its head is an image we should be familiar with, but it's the picture that Isaiah is about to paint that's especially unusual. So look back with me at the next verse, in verse 6 of Isaiah 11. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that is a beautiful and bizarre image. How would you like to get something like that as a Christmas card? Like you see on the screen behind me, can you imagine the reaction? Hey, Bert, we received your family's Christmas card. How glad to hear it. Merry Christmas. The Reynolds love you. They say, yeah, well, about that. It is a bit, how should I put this? Unusual. Because there's animals that I don't remember in any nativity scene showing up in your card. And there's a little, I think it's a boy, with like a nightgown. Is that Max? What's going on with you guys? And I say, well, we just wanted to remind you of the reason for the season. They say, well, we turned it over, and there's a picture of an infant with a bunch of cobras in the background. And there's a little child, and he's putting his hand in a viper's nest. Is this a cry for help? Are you guys okay? Have you considered using family portraits from a beach vacation or a field with flowers or something like that, like normal people do? This is a weird picture that Isaiah is painting. These pictures of mortal enemies in the animal world peacefully hanging out, in the words of Lord Business from the Lego movie, that sounds like a bunch of hippie dippy baloney. Check out the Lego movie. It's a good one for the most of you, apparently, who have not seen that one. These are images that you expect from a Disney movie like Zootopia or The Lion King, where predator and prey, natural-born enemies and adversaries are holding hands and singing Elton John and Shakira songs. This is a weird image. And it all seems a little far-fetched, not just for Christmas, but for any time. It is absurd. It sounds nice, but that's not the real world. Turn the other cheek, that's not the real world. Go the extra mile, that's not the real world. Someone tries to sue you for your tunic, and you're supposed to give them your cloak as well. That's not the real world. Loving your enemy, praying for those who persecute you, or even just tick you off, forgiving not just seven times, but seven times 70, that's not the real world. And while we're at it, lions eat meat, they don't eat hay. And in the real world, cobras don't cuddle kiddos, they strike. And the real world is full of every kind of harm and all manner of destruction. And if we're honest, we dish it out many times as often as we receive it. That's a picture of the real world. But what if, Isaiah asks, what if that is not the way it's supposed to be? What if the world has a loving designer who intended something better than an eye for an eye, and dog eat dog, and every man, woman, and child for themselves, survival of the fittest? What if this most peculiar picture of what the Messiah brings when he comes in righteousness and justice is not just what could be, but what should be, even now, among us and through us? And what if it's a picture of what most certainly will be when Christ comes again? And what if this crazy picture isn't so crazy after all? What if the angels, when they spoke that glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, God's peace on people on whom God's favor rests when Christ comes, what if they meant it? They proclaimed not just what could be, but what should be. What if this is a glimpse of what Jesus means in Revelation 21 when he says, I'm making all things new? What if this is a picture of people in community that so believe in the new creation that we've been claimed for that we start to lean into that and live into that? I get it. Given the hostility and hatred that's so prevalent in our world, given the division and distrust that can be so prevalent in churches around our land, given the great gulf that separates families, even over the holidays, people who share a table and blow up beds, given the coldness and the distance that has set in some marriages, the thought of peace sounds about as crazy as a toddler playing with a viper and living to tell about it. The thought of peace, real peace, not just avoiding blow-ups, but when we are living together and working together toward love and harmony and unity. That image of a lamb hanging out with a lion near supper time, and the lion says, "You know what? I think I'll take some grass tonight." It is, without question, perhaps the most peculiar picture of Christmas someone could suggest. And in a way, it is just absurd, because we know we cannot get from where we are to what is imagined on our own. We only get there when God does the work. And we only get there when Christ comes again. But we are a people that is all about coming, the coming of Christ this time of year. Not just looking ahead, but we are a people who remember and celebrate and proclaim to the world that He has already come out of the stump, out of the decimation. A shoot of hope has come forth, the bud of hope and new beginnings is already among us. And we see signs of His fruit. And we are called to be those who bear that fruit. Not just will be, not even just could be, but should be, even now among us. You and I can't make a wolf and a lamb become best friends, join a bunco group on Tuesdays. But we can be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry when we're gathered around our family over the holidays. And that same family member who always knows how to push that same button, pushes that same button. And we choose to respond with peace. When that same family member who always likes to bring up politics, when none of the rest of us want to talk about it in the family because nothing good is going to come there, we can either escalate it or we de-escalate it. We can come armed for bear, or we can lay down our weapons and love even those who are different. You can't bring peace on earth, but you can be a peacemaker, choosing to live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you, choosing not to overreact when someone cuts you off on the freeway, choosing to hold back on that snarky comment to your coworker, choosing not to yell at the refs even though they clearly missed that obvious call on your little all-star on the field. You can't make all wars cease, but you can choose a ceasefire when your spouse says something or does something or doesn't say something or do something that you think they should. You can respond with love and patience and kindness even when they get on your ever-loving last nerve. You can't control others, but you can choose who you're going to be. And you can double down on kindness and patience and mercy and return ugliness with goodness. You can choose not just the silent treatment or the permanent retreat, but choose continually to speak and act in love. Here's the thing. Isaiah imagines a day when the whole earth is so full of the knowledge of God. He says that no harm is done on God's holy mountain. We're not at that day yet. That's the day when Christ comes again. But we are here because Christ has come, not just into the world, but into our lives. And the first buds of peace are among us and within us and should grow through us. And so until that day, our prayer is that we so open our lives to the fullness of God that the peculiar picture of a world remade, at the very least, would play out among us, a peculiar and holy people. Let's stand and sing together.